Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, Morning Mess, here's time for the After Mess podcast. How you doing? It's Joey Boy.
Hey, it's Anish.
Hi, it's Carla.
Exciting things happening with the podcast. We decided might not be every 50 episodes that we're going to go live. We're putting something together where we're going to do it more frequent, so stay tuned for that. Yeah. When we say live, meaning we go to actual venue in the Phoenix area. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we'll talk about it and we'll post about it on our socials. Make sure you follow us at The Morning Mess. We'll let you know when the next one is because everyone's like, I missed the last one. When's the next one? Wow. You don't have to wait another few months. We'll be doing that. Well, we'll let you know. Yeah, all right, sure. So on the show this morning, we talked to Raina in Tullison. She wanted to get revenge on her husband with a cupcake call because she said her husband ruined their son's life, basically, because of a family name she really didn't like. His dad and his dad's dad, the grandfather, was named Richard. And when you're a kid, they call you Dickie. And she thought it was going to ruin their son's life.
I mean, valid.
Right? Like getting called Dickie, little Dickie. I mean.
Okay. In my guy's defense, though, what was his name, Chase?
Chase.
In his defense, if she really didn't like that, she should have never let them name the kid Richard in the first place.
Well, I think that might have been the compromise. We can call him Richard. Just don't call him Dickie.
Dickie.
She told him not to, and he still did. Anyways.
Yeah.
Well, we started talking off there about people that ruin your life.
The After Mess.
Because she was a little exaggerating, obviously. She was worried that dad was going to ruin their son's life by the nickname Dickie. So we had a discussion, a real talk, on like people who almost ruined your life. Mm. And I started talking to, actually, I was talking to Carla in studio when Anish, you, I think you were heating up some food or something like that, which I will not allow people to change the way that I'm going to look at life and other people. Meaning, it's a simple thing for me. Friends almost ruined my life. I feel like, and people that really know me, I'm loyal to the soil. So people that really turned their back on me and backstabbed me were friends. We're just great friends. I would say, and not just one, we're talking about, I can name off at least five friends that I consider either brother or sister. Not blood, but almost brothers that turned their back on me or backstabbed me for no reason. Now, that put me in a whirl spin about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, to where I just didn't fuck with people. I just didn't want no friends. I didn't like people. I became an introvert. I was having health issues. I was getting migraines. I was stressing out about the stupidest shit because I became paranoid that everybody wants what I got. Or why am I going to fuck with you? You just want what I got. Or I don't know. Nah, you say this, but so-and-so did this, so-and-so this. I let that go probably 8 months ago, 9 months ago. I started just letting go of that shit because I felt like they had the power at that point. Mm-hmm. That they had the power to ruin my life. And they were. They were succeeding.
Dang.
I didn't like people. And I feel like that negative energy in contact with them being part of my life, not of my life, my wife, my kids, my parents, like they were in my inner circle.
Bro, okay, that's like the most messed up part is that the people that have the ability to hurt you the most are the people that have a bigger latch on you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's the betrayal is the worst part. Because when someone flips you off, you know what I mean, in the corner of the street, or someone calls you, you fucking bitch, and you don't know them, they're a person that's just walking.
You can drive off.
Right. Whatever.
It's whatever.
But when it's like your best friend, it's like, you know what? You're a fucking bitch. You're like, oh!
How dare you? Yes.
They like literally have the key to your back door, your house, and they know where your parents live. And it's not that I felt like my family was in danger. I just felt like there was an attachment of my family. Like, but what happened? Why would they do that to you?
Right.
That fucked me up. Because then I felt like a sucker.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I felt stupid. I'm like, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you liked them just as much as I did. But I let that go. I forgave them. I moved on with life. And now I'm starting over. You know what I mean? So I'm going to jump on the board. I know people listen to the podcast. Y'all feel me on this. Friends. And if you're going through that, let that shit go. Let it go. Forgive. Don't forget. but there's other people that probably deserve your time.
And energy.
Yeah, and energy. Definitely that.
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, I mean, I think that part's real. Is it cliche to say that, like, I would say that I'm the one that almost ruins it?
It's not cliche. I think it kind of goes off the same concept of, like, you are who knows you the best. You are the number one person that can destroy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know all your weaknesses. You know everything you hate about yourself. In fact, like, for me, for example, I look at one picture, and who's the only person that thinks I look horrible? Myself. So it's like...
That's facts.
You have, like...
We will tell Carla, you look beautiful. No, I don't look... I'm like, okay.
It's like, oh, my gosh. I know, photo shoots for the Morning Mess are a trip. Anyway.
Yes, they are.
Oh, my
God. And the
God.
Thing is, I wish I was kidding. I wish I was kidding, but literally, like, our boss, Disciple, will try to put on, like, bad bitch music for me, and I'm still, like... hating everything.
I've
about
been
the
part
situation.
Of so many shows. I've never dealt with anyone like Carla with a photo shoot. And I just laugh. I don't even get mad because, you know, you guys know me. I don't give a fuck about a photo shoot. I literally will just don't care. But Carla will want this. I'm just like, yo, just let me know which one y'all like. I'm fine with it.
Well, the thing is, because I don't like any of my pictures, I'm always like, whatever, like, post whatever. And then our boss will be like, no, I want you to be comfortable with what we're posting.
Yeah,
and then I'm like, I'm never going to be comfortable because I hate the way I look. And then he's like super confused. And then I have to lie and be like,
he does
like
a great job
one.
Of just trying to make you comfortable.
Yeah.
But I say 90% of the time you look great in the picture. And I'm like, Carla, you look great in that picture.
Yes, but what's the text message that you just got from our boss right now?
I'm looking for a picture because if you're listening to this today, the day that we're recording is the 12th of February of the year 2020. This Saturday, I'm going to host a club for the first time ever.
Exciting.
Which is super exciting. It's awesome. It's fun. We got the vibes. Woo! come through if you want to. Ladies, we're free till midnight. Anyway, so I'm trying to look for a picture for the flyer. Now, I don't know if you know me, but like my personality is not very like... I don't consider myself sexy. It's like a whole conversation, but like I don't consider myself like sexy. I consider myself a bad bitch in many ways, but the way I look is not one of them, which is a whole other story. But the point is I'm trying to look for a picture for the flyer, and I'm looking at pictures that other girls have posted on flyers, and honestly, they all look like really good, like sexy little woman, you know? So I'm looking for a picture, and all the pictures that my boss is sending me, I feel are out of focus. Like I'm not like, the pictures aren't clear. So I asked him if all of the pictures were out of focus. I said, are all of them out of focus? And he took that offensively as in, well, are all of them out of focus? Like tone, you know, you can't read tone and message. Mm-hmm. And he goes, look, I'm just a program director here.
But I understand where he's coming from.
But I responded because that's not even what I meant.
Right.
I meant like the ones I didn't ask for, the poses that I didn't ask for, are those in focus? Because then I'll just use one of those. And he was like, you know what? Just when you're free, look at them on my computer. It's easy.
Yeah. Like it's because I get where you're coming from 100% and like the whole being critical of yourself. Because that's it. Like, it's, like, so much self-criticism. But, like, there has to be a point where, like, you put a pause to that and stop to that. Because I think, like, we're all creative people. We all do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's exclusive to us. But, like, I know that there was a point in time where I would be like, nope, it's not good enough. Change my outfits, like, a million times before I would go anywhere. And I was like, no, it's not good enough. And at a certain point, I was just like, bitch, wait. I look the fucking same. Like, it's fine. It's good. And to be more happy, like... It used to piss me off and tell me if this is the wrong thing to say, because I understand if it is. But, like, sometimes I really do have to tell myself, it's just like, I have 5 fingers on both of my hands. I got 5 toes on both of my feet. Bitch, I have 2 nostrils. I have 2 eyeballs. Everything functions. And honestly, it doesn't look that bad. It really doesn't look that bad.
It's, like, super weird because, like, when I'll look at a picture, we're, like, a little off topic here, but I'll get to the story of Monica and how she almost ruined my life in the first grade. But the thing is, I'll look at myself and I know I'm pretty because, like, I mean, I've done beauty pageants. Like, you don't win beauty pageants if you're not pretty. That's just bottom line. Like, yes, what's within matters, but, you know, other stuff influences that.
Right.
And so, like, I know I'm not ugly, but no matter what, even when I'm taking, like, selfies of myself, like, I hate everything. And I don't know, like, how to fix it at all.
Well, that's my wife. I'm married to it. My wife is the most beautiful person I've ever met in my life, and she never likes the way she looks. Her phrase, every day, I've heard it. If I had a nickel for every time she said, ugh, ugh, I hate my face, ugh, I hate my nose, ugh. I meet beautiful people in my life. I've met so many beautiful people. My wife, Carla, that are the most insecure people. And I've met people in life that are not good looking and they have so much confidence. And I respect the fuck out of it.
Talk about that shit. That's what, like, was one of my, like, epiphanies. Was, like, I was really upset with the way that, like, my love life and my sex life was going. And I had a friend of mine who was a girl. This was in college. And I was just like, oh, my God, girl. Like, you look like an STD. Like, how the fuck are you? How the fuck are Facts. You having more? Like, how are you? And then I realized, like, I'm going way too specific. Like, it's just like, you're just happier than I am. Like, it has nothing
That's
to do with anything
all
else.
All it is. You got to learn how to be happy.
Yes.
That's all it is. And as soon as you learn how to be happy, all the other shit doesn't matter. Someone flips you off. Your friend betrayed you. As long as you stay happy.
Yes, because on the flip side, I'm sorry because I know that you're about to say something. But, like, on the flip side, what I've also learned to cherish is that, like, I would not be able to appreciate the happiness or have, like, the yearning to work towards it if I didn't know sadness, if I didn't know depression, because you do have that book, and that's something that I work on regularly is my own depression and, like, trying to sift through and figure out what that is, because that happens to me. I think that we all have, like, a certain capacity of it, and it's a matter of figuring out how to navigate that, what that means to you or whatever. But I was like, man, I also can appreciate that if I didn't know sadness, I would not understand, like, how important happiness is.
Right. And that's, like, that is super important. And that kind of goes into trying to understand your emotions of why you feel a certain way. So, like, for example, I don't know if this applies to Amber, because Amber is beautiful. I mean, we call her the hot wife. The whole valley does. And, like, so, for example, me, it's like, okay, I know I'm pretty, but the whole bad bitch vibe, sorry if this sounds bad, but, like, the whole bad bitch vibe, if I were to do it, it can come across as cocky, arrogant, too full of myself.
But that's you overanalyzing it, because confident people could be ugly and pretty. I see their confidence and it exudes bad bitch. Like my friend Marty. Y'all met Marty?
The really bad one?
Yeah, she's bad. Good friend of mine. She exudes confidence. Mm-hmm. Not only is she beautiful, she's so smart. She's like a realtor. Mm-hmm. And she does modeling gigs. And she is the coolest, most humble person. But it's not cocky. It's just she has this confidence. I'm aware this L.A. outfit. Her outfits are L.A., New York, in Phoenix. And people look at her like they think she's a celebrity. And she exudes confidence. But I also know another girl that's not that great looking. But she's so fucking confident.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I fuck with that. And it's just like Anish's classic line, you look like an STD.
Yeah.
But they get probably more pussy or more dick or whatever suits you, thrown at them because you exude that confidence.
Right, and what's more important? That's what I really had to ask myself. Is it more important that I think, like, that I think that she's ugly, or is it more important that she's getting what she wants?
Oh, it's
you
more,
know what I mean?
And it's way more important that she's getting what she wants because, like, for example, people could tell me that I'm pretty and I'm not fat all day, every day. I don't believe that.
Right.
So, like I have a huge complex about the way my body looks. Huge. But I feel like I have a huge shame with it, too. I feel like I can never say that I feel like I look fat because I know that, like, health-wise and the way I look, I look
fine. Because I know it's the elephant in the room. It would bother me.
Right.
Like, if I heard you say that, I would be like,
because other people
girl.
Would be like, are you kidding me? Like, or other people that are bigger than me visibly would be like, well, then what the hell does she think about me? And it's like, it's not about you. It's about me. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So,
totally.
Like, one of the things that I feel like when you're talking about this and what also helped me is, like, you're at a huge advantage because your self-thought is that powerful. Even though it's working like, even though it's working against you, if you flipped that,
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you flip,
it's almost
that,
like we talk about willing it out there.
Yeah.
If you put it out in the universe, I look good. I look healthy. I feel good. It's a thing that I learned with JoJo, and we had to teach JoJo how to dress up for football, which is a weird thing, but I just learned this a year ago. When you look good, you feel good. When you feel good, you play good. And now his swag is coming. And Adrian, his older brother, my stepson, who's 20. He would always tell JoJo, like, yo, JoJo got no swag. JoJo got no swag. And he would say, JoJo, you know, put your cleats on like this, or wear socks up this high, and wear this color, and da 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 da. JoJo didn't get it. I just want to play football. Shut the fuck up.
Aww.
Leave me alone. But now he gets it. It's the same thing in life, right? When you look good,
everything.
You feel good. When you feel good, you play good. Yeah, but you said, like, it's a whole different thing the way you look at yourself as other people's look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not totally.
But it's so weird because, like, the thing is, I would never be as judgmental or mean towards anyone else than I am, like, towards myself. Like, I've never looked at a person, like, and this is dead ass. I've never looked at a person and thought, oh, she looks fat. Like, in a negative way. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But I'll look at myself and I'll be like, oh my God, why am I wearing low-rise jeans with this, like, you know what I mean? So it's, I think, you know, sometimes people just gotta learn to be nicer to themselves.
Yeah, because I will say that when I struggle with that, though, my experience was I was meaner to other people.
Oh.
Like
just
that,
as a
that
defense
permeated.
Mechanism?
100%.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was where.
Well, if you own it, okay.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes. That
I think
was...
you did mention you were a little bitch early, like before.
Oh, I had a whole moment of being incredibly mean. Like, I wouldn't even say bitchy, just like mean, because I was so. I would get mad at everybody, just like, why was your childhood fantastic? Why was this great? Why are you smiling in my face?
Right.
Like, fuck off. Go
it's
away.
It's all about feeling secure about yourself. I'm going to share some. You know, I was thinking about this podcast. I'm like, in this podcast, I feel like I want to do stuff that I've never talked about or like no one knows. Like, how do we make our podcast telling things that no one's ever heard? I've never blurted out. I'll tell you one thing. Being part of a morning show is very special because I've been a solo jock and I've been part of a team. There's benefits on both parts. But when I was part of mornings for so long, I had a partner for years in my career, and I went as a solo jock. When I left Phoenix, I don't know, Nine years ago, back to Cali, and I had the Joey Boy Show, started the Joey Boy Show just by myself. I freaked the fuck out. I freaked out because I didn't know how to do a show by myself. I was always second mic, or I was first mic, or I had a crew that I could feed off.
Right.
I was going to be on a show by myself. So I freaked out so much, I went to the local liquor store, had a drink before my first shift. I was that nervous. Still got to the shift an hour early. From that first day, for months and months and months and months and months, I get my one sheet. I write all my breaks down exactly to
verbatim.
The word verbatim of what I wanted to say.
Wow.
That's how nervous I was.
That's crazy.
Like, I couldn't improv. I even if I went live, I would write everything I was going to say, reading a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Because I was so insecure that I was back in California and now I got to compete with LA and Cali, and I didn't feel like Joey Boy was enough, that for so long I was part of this show and part of this crew and I had no one to bounce off with, and I'm not that funny and I'm not this and da da da. I used to write every single fucking, I think about it now, my whole page would just be all written on, the whole thing, my whole show would be written. It was crazy because I was insecure.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel I was talented.
Do you feel like there was like a pivotal moment that changed that? Because you don't do that now. And I know that's obviously different because time
show.
Has passed, mm-hmm. but there's a crew. Was there a moment when you were doing it individually, like your own, the Joey Boy Show, that you were like, you know what, actually, I don't need to write everything down anymore?
Probably in the past few years, like...
Okay.
That I felt comfortable. I think I talk about it in the podcast. I finally felt, and I talked to you, Anish, about it.
Mm-hmm.
I finally felt comfortable with myself being who I am because I was very uncomfortable. People coming up to me in public or in front of my family, oh my God, you're Joey Boy, made me really uncomfortable. And I felt like I wasn't worth that. And then it wasn't until about a year ago, I kind of started sticking my chest out. Like, I am Joey Boy. Embrace that shit. My kids are going to be proud of me. My kids are going to brag about me one day. Like, yeah, when I retire one day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad was Joey Boy. Oh my God, I used to listen to your dad. I finally embraced that, but for years, I wasn't comfortable being this guy, Joey Boy, because I felt stupid.
Yeah.
I feel like people looking at me, taking pictures with me, and people freaking out. Oh my God, you're Joey Boy. And other people walking by, I'm like, they must think I'm so cocky. They must think.
That's how I feel. I'm like, people are probably like, who the fuck is this girl?
Yeah.
And then like my boyfriend, I'll be like, oh, you cute little local celebrity. And then I'm always like, no, stop.
Exactly. That's how I felt. It wasn't until about a year ago I felt comfortable with it. It's like, no, I worked my fucking ass off to build this brand. And this is what I've been wanting to do since I was 14. No, I'm fucking Joey Boy and I'm going to own that shit. So not until about a year and a half. And you guys are much younger than me. So it'll probably take you a long time.
Oh,
it took
did.
Me a long time.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think this was when before Gina even left on maternity leave, like I talked about imposter syndrome. Like that is something that I have.
And what?
Imposter syndrome.
What's that?
So that is when you are in a position and you just... I basically feel like I'm an imposter even though I'm here.
Oh, my gosh. You did touch that.
It was a huge moment. That was like a friend of mine talked to me about it and my sister talked to me about it too. Like, so I think that's a very relatable thing. But that blows me away that you would like write all that stuff down.
Everything.
That's wild.
And I never told anybody because I was embarrassed.
Well, you are so different now because you improv so much.
Yeah. I improv into the point where I know you guys encouraged me as my friends that I want to try stand-up because I want to keep evolving into, like, I see other radio DJs doing stand-up. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not just I want to be a comedian one day. I just want to be the best at what I do. And I feel like improv and just going off top and being in front of an audience, I'll get better and better in my craft being radio. So I came to me, like, I go home like, man, I've come a long way in 7-8 years where I had to write everything down and now I can crack a mic and we're doing podcasts and just speaking off top. Mm-hmm. But I was too embarrassed to tell. And people would come in, the jock after me would come in. I think he saw it a couple times and I got really embarrassed. And the jock that came on after me was Crisco Kid.
Shut the fuck up.
Yes, which works at a crosstown. And he's a good guy. He's a good guy. He works at another hip hop station in town. And I would like go over there and try to get it and crumble it up. Like, he probably thinks I'm the worst DJ ever. I have to write everything down. It's almost like I had training wheels.
It's very beginners.
Yeah, like I'm you know, like training wheels. But yeah, I was just a nervous wreck, bro. I was insecure, not about my look, because I can care less. It takes me 5 minutes to get ready to this day. But the way I perceive myself on the radio, I'm very insecure. Now I don't care. You either like me or you don't. Keep it pushing. But I guess to what the basic is, to go back to topic, who ruined your life? Basically, you were saying yourself.
Yes.
You ruined your own life.
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Because of the way that I was responding and responding to my own, like, feelings. Like, I'm a big believer in, like, you can't control your emotions, you control how you react to them.
Exactly.
So, like, I can feel whatever I want. Like, I can feel that I can't change.
Right.
Like, I cannot change if I'm happy today, I cannot change if I'm sad today, but how I respond to it is huge. And especially, like, what I will say, like, we're talking about things that we haven't, like, talked about elsewhere. Like, when I was growing up, my mom passed away last year, but, like, I've always kind of hinted at, like, we had a pretty up and down relationship. And one of the reasons why is because, like, for a good portion of, like, my teenage years, she was gone, like, literally just gone. And my dad would go after her. And there was a lot of stuff around that, but I had a lot of resentment towards not only the fact that that was happening, but that I had to keep that a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a big thing in the household that, like, you absolutely cannot tell anybody that this is going on. And so for me, as a teenager, trying to figure out my sexuality, figure out what that means through religion, on top of, like, whatever other, like,
drama,
regular teenage insecurities that you have, my weight issues, all of that other stuff, I became fed up and I was so aware of it that I was like, I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. I have been dealt too much now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking care of my sister. I'm fucking 17 years old and I'm living in this big ass house by myself. This makes no sense. And I can't tell anybody. Fuck the world.
Yeah.
And that was my attitude towards everything. And it was for years, up until the point when I was in college and I was fucking around a lot, big time, when I got called in by my academic counselor. I was in the School of Psychology, and they called me in and they were like, so, like, you're not in the school anymore?
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. And I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, yeah, you've, like, flunked out of the program.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that was, like, the first time that I went into therapy and I started to really, like, talk to somebody and really, like, address that situation. I went into therapy that day, and that was...
That could be a whole other podcast. Like, what was your fuck the world moment? What was your turning point in life? Like, you had to hit, like, most people's rock bottom, or you're just like, fuck this. Self-care.
There was other things.
I felt like there was one point where I felt so low that I felt like I was already in this deep pit. And you know how moles bury, like... Mm-hmm. I remember feeling like I was trying to bury, but I was just burying in the same level of low. Like, I was just burrowing. And so I thought I was moving, but I wasn't.
You weren't low enough?
Like, I was just going. Like, I was just still under the ground.
Further down?
Yeah, and I thought everything I was doing was trying to claw my way up, but all I was doing was making a bigger hole in the dirt.
I think a lot of people do that. I know a lot of people do that.
I feel like, and during those times, like, if you were to ask me which was the lowest, I wouldn't even know what to tell you.
There's too many?
It was just, like, such a moment in my life where all-encompassing things were just fucking bad.
Yeah.
And the part that made it worse was that I felt bad, and I started believing that I was a bad person. I was making all these choices because I fucking sucked. And it's like, gosh, it's super difficult because when I was younger, you know how I always joke around about how I was a perfect kid? I make that joke a lot. But I think a lot of that stems from the fact that I had such a higher sense of self-worth when I was younger for myself than I do now. Okay. So that's why, like, now I sometimes I feel like I'm, like, such a piece of shit person. Or, like, I'm not, like, a role model. Oh, my God, why am I crying? Oh, so it's, like, yeah, it's just, like, a sense of
self-worth. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes sense to where you look at yourself at a higher regard at a younger age.
What is that called? It's like a therapy. It's called your inner child.
And yeah, oh.
Yeah, inner child therapy where you sit down and you envision you when you were little. Mm-hmm. And you ask yourself when you were little, what do you need? And younger you sometimes is like, I'm hungry. Or I need to go outside. Or I don't know, whatever it is that you need. Like, I need to take a bath. And sometimes you sit down and you realize that it is little things. Sometimes you realize it's big things. Like, maybe you need to call someone. But, or one of the examples that they gave at the Latina seminar that I was just at was you ask a little kid what they're good at. They'll say, I'm the best door opener in the world. I hold the door every morning for my classroom, or I give really good hugs, or I'm a great friend. But you ask an adult what they're good at, and they automatically feel the need to say accolades, like things they've won, you know, things that in their mind matter to society, instead of just being like, I'm funny, or I make coffee for everyone every morning.
We almost live like an Instagram life. You do it for the likes.
Yeah.
Like, what would you love and like to hear me say?
Exactly.
Instead of something simple.
Like I am a first generation college student, and I am this and I am that, when that's like not who you are or how you should really value yourself. You know?
It's okay to do that, but it's important to also remember that, like, what you're saying with the kids, where it's like, yeah, bitch, I wake up every morning and I make myself coffee, and that's amazing.
Yeah
if someone asked me that question, when people ask me questions, like, great what you're talking about, Carla. If you were to ask me that, I'm a great father. Like, that's my biggest thing. Like, I want to be the greatest father, and I feel like I try to be the best father, and I'm always trying to improve myself. Like, our schedule is pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah.
In the next few months. So I'm just telling my wife, I'm like, we're going to have to make time not only for each other, but I'm going to be out of sorts, and I'm not doing myself or my morning show any good if I'm missing my fucking kids. Because, like, you're going to EDC, you're going to Coachella, you're going here, you're going there. I was like, we're going to Disney night. Cool. I'm going to take my kids there.
Right.
You know,
right,
like, okay,
right.
What point I got to, because I won't be right. I won't function. It's like, I need my kids around me. I can't be gone for 4 fucking days, come back. I was looking at our schedule, and don't get me wrong, I love what we do. I'm totally blessed. But to me, I know I need to keep, self-care is being a father. That's my most important title. So I hear what you're saying about that. That's crazy. Inner child? Is that just learning, or is that a book? What is
it's a form of therapy, and it's huge one. Like, for me, I love that you brought that up, and I love that came up where you were. But, like, for me, especially having lost my mom, like, that's something that, like, I've really had to dive into. I've done a little bit of it before, but I'm not an expert on it, but it really is about, like, literally parenting your inner child.
So it's self-care.
It's all within. It's all within. It's all self.
Interesting.
And, like, I love it because there's, like, a couple quotes to me. Like, the one of them, I wish I knew the specifics, but it was just, like, adults are literally just children in, like, grown bodies. Like, when you're kids, like, especially if you talk to your kids, like, I'm sure they look at you like you know everything. Mm-hmm. And I know that when my parents were my age, like, I think my mom was 30 when she had me. So, like, I'm 31. I could not look at an infant and answer
anything.
Mm-hmm.
But they you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, yeah. I totally get it. That's why being a father is so important, because I have such a good time just with my kids. I don't, it's nothing crazy. It's like, I want to go, mommy doesn't like McDonald's. My wife is vegan, if you listen to her. So every once in a while, it's not a lot, but every 2-3 weeks, I sneak Cruz and Gia to McDonald's.
Because they're kids.
They're kids, and they just want to play in the playground. They literally, I buy them 2 Happy Meals. Mm-hmm. They don't fucking eat the food. They eat the fries. They always leave the burger. They don't eat nuggets. They really don't eat the food.
The fries are bomb. That's bottom line.
The fries are bomb.
The fries are bomb. Talk about it. Be about it. Fight me about it. The fries are bomb.
You get fries, and then I get one of them apple slices. They share, and they just want to play. But it just brings me joy. Just being around kids are so honest. They're just...
Well, I think a really good way to look at it is, you know how there's primary colors? It's yellow, blue, and red, right? And you can make, like, any cut... I believe so. You can make almost any color combination out of the colors. I feel like all of us start off as those three colors, and as we evolve into adults, we become orange, and we become green, and we become a plum. Sometimes we have areas that are a yucky brown, but deep down, we're all just that those children, like, everything is deep-rooted from when we're kids, so it's just, damn, that's why I think therapy is so important, because you have to understand why you are the way you are in order to change the things you don't like.
If you if that's what you want, because I know that that's what I needed.
Right.
No, I mean, like genuinely speaking, I think it's great for whoever wants to do it, but I was in love with it the moment I started.
I gotta try it. I would love to try it.
I'll go back. Like,
well, one of my favorite people that I actually read a book is Charlemagne the God. Mm-hmm. He's a radio DJ, one of the biggest in the industry. He's out of New York. And I read his books. They're great books. And he's a big advocate for therapy. He's like, I don't understand how people take, they go to a doctor once a month for a health check, but you should go see a psychologist at least once a year for a mental check.
Yes.
And he's an advocate, so respect. Mm-hmm. All right, man, we did that 30. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Oops. We late for a meeting. Listen, man, have a blessed one. We'll see you back on your radio, 5 to 10, live 101.5. Let's do it again.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.